At the end of Mass tonight, I have a few things I need to update the parish on. Things the finance council, pastoral council have been talking about lately, so to save some time for that, brief homily this evening, as brief as I can be. You know how I am at this point, right? But the readings are awesome. All of them are in the Easter season, and tonight in a special way. Love the gospel story, the vine, the branches. This story comes to us from the last conversation that Jesus has with his apostles before he is arrested on Holy Thursday night. This is the end of the Last Supper, these lines right here. So they're very important. You think that's true, right? The man is going to die soon, and so the last things he says have a lot of weight to them. He saves the best things for last. He says lots of things in all those verses, but tonight we hear this kernel, this beautiful piece of wisdom, and it centers on an image. I'm the true vine. You are the branches, vine, branches. Father, the vine grower, the master gardener. In our era of, you know, science, when we think about medicine and the way that we do, and science and the way they do, all about things that we can kind of prove, things that we can see, things that our senses can verify, things like this sound kind of silly, I suppose. But the fact is, we are spiritual people at the core. We are spiritual souls. Soul and body all beautifully joined together. Which means that if we cut ourselves off from the spiritual, that's what he's trying to say, we're going to wither. Never mind what we eat for breakfast, never mind what we take for medicine, never mind whatever we think our physical body is doing. If our souls are cut off from the spiritual, because of spiritual beings, we're going to wither. It's just as simple as that. So what does he say? Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. And as you do, you'll bear much fruit. And if you're separated from me, then things will not go well. So whenever a person is cut off from Jesus Christ as the true vine, they start to wither. They'll look good for a while. It'll go good for a little bit. But eventually, as time passes, they will decay as a person. Same thing for a country or a world or a nation. If a nation begins to divorce itself from God's laws or our teachings or our truth or our power, it will start to wither, it will start to fracture. If a family does not pay attention in the household to prayer, to piety, to taking care of those who are in need, to making God the center of the home, it will start to wither. If a parish, if a school does not follow what God wants us to in totality, we will begin to wither. We must always be attentive to what does God want for us. So that's his sort of foreboding language, right? That means it's kind of a stark thing to say. You cut yourself off from me, you will wither. Like a plant out of the ground, it's just not going to make it. Why? Because we are spiritual people, fundamentally. Okay? That's the hard news. The good news, the best news, the amazing news, the flip side is really what else he has to say, which is this. Yes, if you cut off, you're in trouble. But if you stay in me, stay friends with me, stay rooted in baptism, the Holy Eucharist, the gospel, the teachings of the church, the preaching of her pastors, the life of prayer, if you stay in those things, think what you can do. You're unstoppable, he's trying to say. Because you joined in me, and what am I? Unstoppable, Jesus says. Even death cannot keep me down. Same thing for you. So you want to live, he says, want to live to the fullest right now and live forever in the next life, then hang on to me who is the vine of real life. The life cannot be taken from me. And as long as you're connected to me, that's what sacraments are for. They give us his life. As long as you're connected to me, you too will live forever. Unstoppable. Overcome evil, overcome bad habits, transformation, change, wholeness of person, peace of heart, becoming the best person you could possibly be in this life and the fullest in the next, all that if we stay on the vine. Who is Jesus? That's who it is. So, hard news for those who don't want to listen to this. They're in trouble. That's just a fact. But for those of us who take it seriously, awesome news. He says, you'll bear fruit, and it will glorify my Father. As the world sees you, they will know there is a God, and that I'm the one behind all the good things that you do, and more will come to my name and into my church and into my kingdom. So in Easter season, right, we take all that in. We just spend weeks and weeks from Easter to Pentecost just taking in this powerful fact that we're connected to Him, vine and branches. We live in Him. He lives in us, and the sacraments and the Word are the center of that power. That's an awesome thing to know. And as you take it in, we are inspired and enlivened, given life by this very beautiful fact. For that, we give Him all the praise, all the glory, and all the thanks. So as promised, a few things that I wanted to pass along to you on behalf of the councils here, our leadership bodies, and the staff as well, too. So sort of a little update here in the spring. And even if you're not from the parish, good to hear these things because it all applies to you, actually, and at least it will in the months ahead. So first of all, at least in terms of mortgage and the campaign that we ran about a year or so ago, balance is coming down the mortgage, which is great news, and your payments on that are appreciated, helpful. Campaign pledges keep coming in, being paid very well. That's tremendously helpful. Always watch the bulletin for our status update on those things, a little box that's in the inside cover every week that really helps keep track of those kinds of things. And this week, to the bulletin, I have a lot of things to share about all sorts of things around here that I won't touch on tonight, so check that out if you would, please. But in terms of projects around here, because the campaign did so well last spring and through the summer and everything else, we're able to do a lot of stuff here to do repairs that I've been thinking about for a long time. So a little list of what's been done so far with your hard-earned donations you've given to us. We have replaced all the school interior lights with LEDs. That's already brought a great savings on the campus and our energy bills, which is a really nice gift to our budget, frankly. We've replaced one-third of the classroom ventilators. That's the air units that move air in and out of the classroom. So one-third of those are all brand new now and working just well. One-third of the windows have been changed out, too. Those are on the east side of the building, so you can't see from here, but they're on the other side. Two new sets of exterior doors have been replaced in the last month, actually. That's finally done. Outside lighting has been updated with LEDs and around the Ed Center with bollards and new poles and things. With campaign monies, we purchased hymnals last summer. Yeah, those red ones are new. We repaired all the soffits around the church last summer. That's all done. And then with other donations, not in the campaign, we repaired the font and moved the tabernacle back up here and put the chapel in place back there. All that's been done the last year. Okay, so it's really, really great to get those things crossed off the list. So what's ahead now, right, with, again, those campaign monies, which we have to use for these things because that's what you gave them for, that's restricted money. So good to know about the projects because they're going to change life around here for the next few months in some significant ways, right? So I would say starting with the simplest of projects, we'll go to the more complex. Simplest, we want to replace these two canopies, well, not canopies, replace the cement beneath the two canopies out here on the east this summer. So that'll impact our doorways and entryways here, so watch for that when that happens. We'll let you know. More windows in the school, more classroom ventilators, so the next third of those will be done this summer. So that means that by the time we hit August, two-thirds of the building are going to be all done on HVAC and windows. We're starting this week the probably two-month-long process. It's going to take that long of replacing all the exterior door locks with electronic locks for a new security system here. School first, Ed Center, then the church. So that'll change how we get in and out of our buildings. And then moving up on the scale of projects, middle school roof replaced this summer, hopefully. It's definitely at the end of its life, finally, and we are able to get that done now with those campaign contributions. And then the church roof also will have substantial work done on it this year and next summer as well, too. The initial plan was to just do some patching, but they said to us it's just not patchable. You need to replace the whole membrane. So we're going to do that on the flat portion here, the big kind of fan portion. And then the following summer, we're going to do the tower. Okay, so all that metal comes off. We put membrane on. It goes back on the roof. So that's coming up, right? And then the biggest item of all that really will change things here for a couple of months is the parking lot down below is to be replaced this summer, the whole thing. That's the plan anyway. Been trying for years to get it done, and again, your generosity has made that possible. So what's going to happen is that they have to drain tile it. They have to regrade the entire thing. We have to remove steps, move the dumpster pads, move a hill, essentially. That's not a small thing, right? You know, so it's going to take a while. So all that is between now and probably like October, I am guessing. Right? Depends upon weather, contractor, schedule, phases of the moon, you name it. All that stuff impacts what happens around here, right? So the question becomes, for those of you who are here all the time and those visiting, how do we handle all the disruption? And the answer is, I don't know. So we're just going to do our best, right? But I can tell you a couple of things, at least in terms of the parking lot. The lot up here was redone a few summers ago, so that's in decent shape at this point. And so what will happen is that we'll take handicapped spaces that are down here and move them up here temporarily while this is being worked on. So for those who need that, which is great, you're going to want to park up here when it's going on. We'll let you know when that happens. We'll have signs and things. And then I'm told that on the lower lot, anyhow, because it's such a big job, they're going to try and make sure that half the lot is open at any one time. So the pavement will be stripped off, but you can drive on it. So probably this half and then that half, and they'll switch and whatnot. So we'll try and keep it as accessible as we can. Otherwise, street parking, obviously, and other things you can do. So we'll just do our best to make it work because it's got to be done, right? So that's kind of the project list, right? Where we've been, where we're going. And then summer of 19, one more batch of things that we'll be doing around here, too. So all this is in the plan that you all helped formulate a couple years ago now, and you paid to have happen, which is